now broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks. It's Healthy Senior Living with Smiles by Delivery. Healthy Senior Living explores all aspects of creating a happy and healthy senior lifestyle. As the premier mobile dental practice in Arizona, we have mastered the art of delivering the highest quality dental services in our patients' homes. This show will bring you an engaging and ongoing discussion with the leading voices in the field about the best options and strategies available to help seniors live healthy and comfortable lives. And now it's time for Healthy Senior Living with Smiles by Delivery.
Welcome to Healthy Senior Living with Smiles by Delivery. My name is Michelle Trent, and I'm here with my ever professional and dapper co-host, Roger Downey.
Thank you, Roger.
How are you today?
I'm very good, thanks.
Good. Very, very glad that you're here, as always, because this show is one where we're sharing, of course, resources, which is something we always do with Healthy Senior Living. Our goal is to really give you resources, information, news that's going to make your life that much better as you think about how you can be healthy and ensure that these next years are your very best years. And we talk about health-related items. Roger, I'm always thinking about you because I'm thinking about my healthcare report. And I know that you are on top of all these stories that have to do with health and wellness. So why don't you just give us maybe one of the headlines or one of the things we should be aware of this time of year?
Well, right now, of course, we're approaching. We're not there yet. We're approaching the flu season. And it's really important for seniors to get their flu shots. It's very easy these days because what they have done, at least here in Arizona, is allow pharmacists to give the flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, it is covered by Medicare, so it's not you're not laying out a lot of money, if you are at all, and it's an easy thing to accomplish. And if you get it now, it's still early enough that if you get it now, it will be effective once the flu season starts. The one thing you don't want to do is get the flu. I'm sorry. That is the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in this room has probably had the flu at one point or another and regrets it. But you can't get the flu from the flu shot.
Wait.
A lot of people fear the shot.
Are you sure? Because I just heard that last weekend.
Well,
and I think
I
read it on Facebook, so it must be true.
It is not true.
Are you sure?
Now you can be allergic to perhaps, some of the ingredients in the flu shot itself, but that's only a minor issue. You might have some pain in your shoulder or something like that, or it's not going to give you the flu. But that's probably the major thing people have to be looking out for these days.
Okay, I see. So there's a benefit for getting the flu shot because you don't get the flu. But let's also consider that the benefit is you oftentimes get a lollipop, which is a bonus, and mm-hmm. you get some really great Band-Aids, which they
depends
have better
on your
ones
age,
now.
Though, for that, isn't it? I mean,
I don't know.
Get a lollipop still?
Well, if I go to CVS, do you not think they sell lollipops? And I'm going to go make sure that I get one for getting a flu shot? That could hurt. All right. I'm just trying to entice you all to get your flu shots. Get a fancy Band-Aid and a lollipop makes everything better. Here's someone else who makes things better, and that's our guest for today. His name is Coy Vernon, and I want to read your complete title because I want to make sure that I get it right. It's Coy Vernon. You are a licensed fiduciary, principal, and director at Childers and Coventry, LLC.
That's me.
That's you. Thank you for have you gotten your flu shot?
That's a negative. I haven't had that in a while, so I probably need to go to Walgreens to get a sucker, take my daughter and get some emoji Band-Aids.
Exactly. Now you know what I'm talking about. And he brought up Walgreens, which is good because now we have equal time between I brought up CVS, he brought up Walgreens. We're all good. Way to balance things out, Coy. That's excellent. You know, when I read your title and all the many hats that you wear, one of them was fiduciary. And fiduciary is one of those terms which I think people, may have heard on occasion, but there's a bit of confusion as to what a fiduciary actually is and what they do. So could you explain that for us and clear up any confusion our audience might have?
Yeah, so that's a simple question that provokes a long answer. So most people will hear the term fiduciary from their investment advisor or maybe a realtor who has a fiduciary duty to look after their client's best interest. As a professional fiduciary that's licensed by the Supreme Court of the state of Arizona, we step in that person's shoes with authority to act and make all decisions as if we were that person. oftentimes court-appointed that may be in the capacity of a conservator over financial matters or a guardian over medical and health care managers. And they're separate appointments. Sometimes, a lot of times, we get appointed both at the same time. Sometimes it's not necessary and we're just conservator, and sometimes we're just guardian and perhaps a family member is conservator or there's no conservatorship at all.
All right,
that's one aspect of it.
You're talking about some things like conservators and different roles. I mean, take us back even a little bit more. When might somebody seek out these services? At what point am I and you think or it's appropriate to have somebody who's a fiduciary come in and fulfill these roles you're talking about?
That's another question that is simple but also a bit difficult to answer. I would say when you go do your estate planning and you look to appoint someone to act on your behalf, maybe as your medical or financial power of attorney, that's when you should look to do that. You want to do it before things are bad. But unfortunately, most of the time when we're brought in, it's when things have digressed to a point of emergency and there's usually no family around or there's significant conflict. And that, just several cases that come to mind, one gal was in her late 50s, early 60s and had developed advanced dementia. And finally her neighbors got a hold of an attorney, got a hold of us, and she had acquired 50 cats or so and was just living in filth. It took somewhere around 10 showers or so to clean her. So she had no family to come in and help her. So then the attorney petitioned for us to become her conservator and guardian to look after her now. So we've placed her and we've been taking care of her for a while. Another instance, son who had a criminal record had taken his elderly mother after their father had passed away, and he left her, refused her medical care and left her to die in a hotel in Oregon, and proceedings had occurred there, and we were appointed as agent to step in and recover her house and kick the son out, and we worked with Maricopa County Sheriff's Department and a private security contractor to step in and take the house back and get her affairs in order here. So a lot of times, unfortunately, it's an emergency that brings us in. Another instance, I had to go down to Central America because the gentleman who had bipolar disorder, had a traumatic brain injury and some other issues, had gone down to Costa Rica on a vacation and got off his meds and, long story short, became destitute in short order, contracted several infections, life-threatening, and then we had to go down in there and do that. So there's a lot of times there's a scramble, oh, who can we do this? Who's got the staffing and the skill set and the legal knowledge to go down there and get this done? So unfortunately, it's more often than not an emergency standpoint. And then one other instance that I'll bring up is when a family has a developmentally disabled child, obviously the family and the parents should do their best to take care of that child for as long as they can. But as that child ages and when they hit their 50s and the parents are now 70, 80, and they pass away, I would really encourage putting, you know, perhaps not a professional fiduciary, but just someone you know and trust and build that relationship with that person so that you have the peace of mind to know that your child is going to continue to have that stability in life. And then when you pass away, there's not this chaos. You know, we had a gentleman outside Wickenburg area that was in that case, and we had to step in and get him placed in a nice care home here.
Well, first of all, I'm amazed. Simply because I thought fiduciaries were paper pushers and, you know, that kind of thing, an office guy, somebody who you call occasionally to make sure that, you know, mom and dad's finances are being taken care of and they're being looked after. I never expected to hear the stories that you've just told.
Well, we do that, too, and that's a lot of the conservatorship duties that we do and trust administration. So there's the hands-on side that where we going out and doing a lot of that stuff. And then there's the financial management side where we'll step in and as under conservatorship or if their trust assets as trustee, we'll manage their finances. And that's just, you know, your boring accounting. So every year we're required to file an accounting with the courts. Trusts, typically it's an annual accounting, sometimes biannual. We'll work that out with the beneficiaries. So there is that side. We work with a lot of financial advisors to make sure that the portfolio is performing in a way that it should, we typically stick with the conservative growth model. We don't go and buy trade stocks. We leave that up to the professional advisor, but we do review that and we do account for that.
What exactly is your background?
So, you know, I come from real estate contracting, and then I actually got into this industry. And I graduated from the U of A with a degree in political science, so I always say I went to Hogwarts, my Harry Potter school, and got a degree I'm not using now. But maybe I'll go to law school down the road. But so I manage real estate. I started my own investment firm. Then I had a skydiving accident and needed to have a stable job so that I could pay for rehab. I didn't know. The doctors were telling me I wasn't going to be able to do a lot of fun stuff anymore. So I was like, all right, I need to get a stable job with health insurance that was going to challenge me and still allowed me to grow. That way, when I was through rehab, I could then decide what I wanted to do from there and didn't take me away from real estate. So I got into this industry managing all the assets. And when I came in, we had some of the more interesting estates, which is another part of what we do. So when someone passes away, we're often named as personal representative. But again, usually when we do get appointed, it's because the family's not getting along or there's no one to serve, so then we're petitioned as personal representative. So I stepped in to manage all of the real estate, personal property, so on and so forth, vehicles. We got to work with some very interesting ranches up north. I don't think Arizona's going to see some of the ranches that we got to work with, again, enclosed in a national forest with a bunch of man-made lakes, roping arena, really beautiful place. The gentleman that built it, very, very creative. So I got down on that, and then must have impressed my bosses, Don Childers, Roger Coventry, and so then they started getting me on the health side of it. Every now and then we'd have a difficult situation, and they said, hey, Coy, why don't you go out and do that? And so kind of proved my way over there. And then because when I was doing real estate, I was raising money and, you know, essentially doing accounting and whatnot. Then they brought me into the financial side too, and then built up enough trust where Roger wanted me to come in as a partner, mainly for a succession plan since, you know, I'm still reasonably young, so that when Roger retires, then I'll be 40, 45, 50, and then we can keep the firm with a good succession plan for our clients, which is an important thing as a fiduciary. When you're named in estate planning documents and you're looking for that firm to act in 10, 15 years when you're needed. So,
yeah, it's one of those situations where you want to practice what you are trying to get other folks to do as well, right? That's succession planning, make sure you have good plans in place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Coy, before we go and take a short break, just tell people how they can get in contact with you if they want to learn a little bit more about the business and what you all provide. How do they reach out to you?
The best way is to go to childersandcoventry.com, and then you can look at our website. We've got everything from our staff bios, Roger and I's bios, our fee schedules, everything about our company is there. That's going to be the best way, childersandcoventry.com.
Childrensandcoventry.com. And when you say Roger, it's not Roger Downey that you're talking about.
I was just going to drop in and say it's not me.
It's not Roger. No. You can find him on the Smiles by Delivery website and all about him. We're going to take just a short break. And when we come back, we're going to find out a little bit more about the role of a fiduciary and when you might want to engage with a fiduciary.
Healthy Senior Living will be back right after this. Childers and Coventry provides quality of life for their clients and wards, peace of mind for the families, integrity in financial matters, and fairness in dealing with family and other interested parties. They are licensed by the Arizona Supreme Court to serve under court appointment, and as such, they are authorized and prepared to administer guardianships, conservatorships, trusts, probate estates, as well as to act as agent under power of attorney for both medical and financial matters. They are also considered credible expert witnesses by their peers, attorneys who practice elder law, and judicial officers that hear their cases. Serving Arizona and beyond with compassion and integrity, Childers and Coventry offer trust of families, of the courts, and of their clients, peace of mind, a consistent trusted point of contact,
a talented staff with the experience, knowledge, and integrity that inspire confidence in the community. Childers and Coventry. Have you ever wished you knew the story of your great-grandparents, or maybe even your own parents? Hearing personal stories is an irreplaceable way of understanding our loved ones. Recording your story is a precious gift for future generations. Now there's a simple option for getting it done. Remembered Well is an audio recording service that easily preserves your cherished memories. In a few guided conversations, owner and personal historian Michelle Trent will help uncover your family's unique story. This custom narrative is then professionally edited, digitally preserved, and ready to share for generations. It's your story, told your way. Find out more at rememberedwell.com. Now, back to Healthy Senior Living with Smiles by Delivery.
And Coy Vernon is with Michelle and I. He's a licensed fiduciary, principal and director at Childers and Coventry. And if you are wondering what a fiduciary is and why, it might be important for you to know more about this. Coy is here to tell us. And, you know, the one thing I think that comes up for families is that there's that one incident that comes up when mom or dad doesn't really act correctly on things, or you have a question about why they did that. And that's, I think, when you start thinking about there must be something we can do about this, and that's when you start looking for a fiduciary.
That's usually when it happens. They'll start to notice changes in their behavior and whatnot. And a lot of times a family can manage that. Usually they'll come to us when either they're exasperated or the behavior of, I'll say, the incapacitated person. That could be mom, dad, sister, brother, child. It's just become too much, unfortunately, and it's too much stress on the family dynamics there. And family dynamics in itself dictates that a lot. Could be talking about multiple marriages that this individual may have had. And that brings to mind one case that I'm very proud of, one of our healthcare advocates, and I'll say her name, Susan. Susan and Jay, I'm very proud of both of them. In this one instance, it was the family dynamics. His dad, his health began to depreciate more and more, and they weren't able to come together as a family, and Susan was able, after our appointment as guardian, we were just guardian, to ultimately get everybody in the same room to visit with dad, which is what he would have wanted when he passed away. But yeah, a lot of times it's the family dynamics that dictate, you know, that there's a conflict and they need someone to come in that's a third party to do that. But all in all, it's a good situation too, because I think as individuals, we have these high hopes of ourselves, this duty we have to our loved ones, and that we should have. But a lot of times reality is that it's very stressful on the relationship. And then you're no longer just mom, dad, brother, sister, friend. You're the person that has to say no. And you don't get to be, you become more frustrated with the person than, and that's just a good thing to have. Let a third party be that person that has to say no, and we'll just stick with dad. Dad wants to go blow his money on a new car randomly or whatever, wants to go travel the world or marries, you know, another woman that doesn't need to be doing. Let another person be the bad guy in that situation is what I would say.
It's not really clear to me exactly when you guys come into this scenario. I do understand it when you're building a trust and maybe you designate a fiduciary, but say you don't have that. In that instance that you just mentioned about dad and he went to Vegas and he decided he was going to marry some 19-year-old and he's in his 80s. How do you guys get brought in? If it's dad and it's his money and he's like, I'm going to spend it however I want to, how does the family then engage your services? How does that happen?
Okay, I feel I need to answer this question in a bit of a circular way. how are we engaged? So I'll just briefly touch base on this. So we can be appointed as trustee, and there will be provisions in the trust that will state when the successor trustee acts or when we would act as agent under power of attorney, and that can, that again will have provisions that state when we act. That could be a, will require a physician statement or two physician statements stating the incapacity. And then you've got to talk about degree of incapacity, which is going to lead me to discuss, and power of attorney is medical and financial, separate things. And oftentimes there's two different people, one person for financial, one person for medical. Again, both will have a physician statement typically, and that's a good thing. You don't want somebody to just say, well, you're a bit wacky today, and I'm going to go sign you away. You don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so the degree of incapacity, so say, and if you can keep it managed under power of attorney, great, do that. But if your family is, member is just completely uncooperative with anything, then you're going to need, and I should probably have the statute in front of me, but it's like a physician statement and then a nurse practitioner and a psychologist. I think I should have the statutes in front of me, so don't quote me on that. But it can be done on an emergency basis, but you have to petition the court for that. So it's not like they can just snatch those your financial rights and your medical rights from you. It's a bit of a process to do that. So his dad is losing his health. Typically what happens is we're either stated that in the estate planning documents that we are to act as conservator or guardian, or if that's not in there, the family will probably approach an elder law attorney, and then they will contact our firm and say, hey, this is going on. We're having the family interview you and two other fiduciaries, and are you willing to accept an appointment as conservator or guardian? Then the petition goes through the court and will be appointed or not, depending on the findings of the physician. So it's a bit of a process. It can be done on an emergency basis, depending on the situation. But typically it's a bit of a process to do that.
You know, it'd be great if there weren't people who like to prey on older people.
Yeah, right? And that's a whole subject in of itself, and I've learned that it's not always apparent. Well, you know, what's the definition of abuse? I've seen where obviously someone has stripped their mother of several million dollars. Obviously you can tell when somebody physically abuses someone, but what about emotional abuse? If, you know, I've seen cases where individuals living with their brother, and their brother calls them, and, you know, I'm just say what he was calling them, is calling them retarded and insulting them and so on and so forth. Now, how does that affect the mental health of the individual if they're being insulted? If they don't feel emotionally free and happy, they feel a bit oppressed. Or, you know, slight manipulation, maybe you, to the unsuspecting viewer, it seems like a healthy relationship, but when you really look at it, you've got someone that's sitting there manipulating the person. I definitely wish there weren't people like that.
And when you run into a situation where an older person is being taken advantage of, and they're siphoning off funds from that person, you can report it to the police, right?
Yeah, go to APS. APS, okay. And I would suggest contacting an elder law attorney.
Okay, so it's a more indirect method.
Yeah, well, we're required to report to APS by statute. But I would, if you see that going on, I would contact APS. I would, if it's blatant theft, blatant physical abuse, I would contact the local police department. They may or may not be able to do anything. A lot of times they won't be able to act unless it's really bad and it's ongoing and apparent. And then I would really contact an elder law attorney.
How do you go about uncovering what the true story is? Because I would imagine that, you know, somebody who wants to appoint you maybe has their set of facts or ideas about what's going on, and maybe the person that's behavior is concerning has their own situation. So how do you go in and really assess this is the truth, this is the situation and what we need to deal with?
Listen to everyone and believe no one is what I would initially say to that. The facts will uncover themselves as time goes on, and when you get the data, as in the when we get the bank accounts and we see statements and we see what's going on, And as we get to know the protected person and we get to know all the individuals, then the facts come out. But it's very important to listen to what everyone's saying. Look at their motives. What would, you know, do they have something to gain? Don't just jump in and trust anyone, but listen to everyone. And, you know, sometimes when someone has, one instance comes to mind where we had a financial advisor that was really protective over his client, now our ward, and it kind of was raised a concern for us. That he turned out to be a good guy. But when we come into these situations, you know, we let everyone build their relationship with us and show, and their cards will be shown as time goes on. But we typically have to come in just because the situations we deal with are usually bad, and view that with an eye of skepticism.
You know, our audience is made up of a lot of different people, but I believe that we have adults who have senior parents, and maybe they don't have the most frequent contact with those parents. And if it's a widow or a widower and they're living alone, they're isolated in a sense because all of their friends have died. And the next door neighbor befriends them and then starts to, you know, give them the sob story about how much money they need and all of this. And then they're starting, so they're beginning to siphon off some of the funds that mom or dad had. That to me is where you need to be there. You need to be the fiduciary who steps in and helps that family take control. That way you don't get angry at that neighbor. You either stop it where it is, or you maybe get some legal authority in there to take control.
Yeah, the best thing is to have someone keeping an eye on your mother and father. It's because of the having to establish incapacity to really take firm action. That's a difficult and slow process. And if it's, you know, you got to talk about how much money is this neighbor getting. If it's small amounts, you know, I'll be honest with you. Honestly, we're probably not gonna be able to do anything. And it's probably going to continue to happen. But the best thing is to have someone in place, and that could be, in this capacity, we'd probably act as agent or power of attorney. We could have an agreement to check in on the parents and keep an eye on things, and if we see that, we'll bring it up to APS. But it's very difficult to just step in and because really when someone's under guardianship and conservatorship, you have to look at the civil rights that they're giving up, and that's a very big thing, and it should not be taken lightly. Driving rights, rights to vote. I mean, there can be limited appointments where those rights aren't taken away, but typically speaking, they're losing their civil rights. So it's a slow process to jump in that capacity. Best thing is really make sure you've got someone in place to keep an eye out that you trust. That could be a firm like ours to step in. Get to know your parents' neighbors. Build, take time to build that relationship. And a lot of times it's the neighbor that lets us know, the good Samaritan neighbor. A lot of times it's the financial advisor that steps in when there's no one else there, because in this case, senior citizen is constant. That's the one person that they're continuously talking to or seeing as either their neighbor or their financial advisor or banker. They're on a set routine.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a much better idea, a clearer picture of what a fiduciary is and what role that they play. And before we close, I just wonder if you would maybe equip our audience with three questions that they need to ask if they're shopping around looking for a fiduciary to care for a member of their family. What are maybe two to three things that they should make sure to inquire about?
Two to three things. I would look at understanding the succession plan of the firm you're looking to appoint. And I'm going to really leave it at two things. I mean, you want to know the staff's disposition, but the biggest thing is you need to build trust with that person, that when they're appointed as your trustee, as your personal representative for your estate, they're going to do what you want. And I don't know any one question that's going to build that for you, but I would take time to assess, how can I figure out if this is someone that I trust and is going to represent me and what I want?
Trust, absolutely paramount, yes. Thank you again so much for being on our show today, Coy. And I don't imagine that being a fiduciary is maybe as exciting as jumping out of airplanes, but it still sounds pretty exciting and certainly very interesting. And what you're doing on behalf of those who are in need of this particular service is tremendous. If you want to find out more about a fiduciary and maybe even contact Coy's organization for their particular expertise, you can find them at childersandcoventry.com. And from there, you can read a little bit more about them, maybe get to know them and find out if they're somebody that you would trust with your loved ones. Thank you so much for joining us today at Healthy Senior Living.
Thank you for listening to Healthy Senior Living with Smiles by Delivery, the premier mobile dental practice in Arizona. Catch the show live each week at this time or 24/7 anytime on demand on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.